I'm Haley.
I'm John.
And I'm Will.
And we're from Crimson Comet, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now, the opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
Hey friends, Jordan Woods Robinson here from AMC's The Walking Dead and Blue Man Group, and this is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, grab some gluten-free, non-GMO popcorn, and let's dive into the world pop culture bliss.
You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All right, and welcome everyone. This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. What is up, Austin Burke? We have Mike Ippolito is joining us. Now, he is playing the role of Neo tonight in The Matrix. You may or may not see his face, but that's okay. You know he's there. He's working his thing here. He's doing his thing.
Joe, yeah. How you doing, buddy? Dude. How you doing,
dude,
man?
I'm great, man. You know what? I got this freaking like sinus thing going on here. I think Florida's like getting an early spring right now. And I don't know if you can hear it, but there's like,
you got that thing. Some phlegm.
I got some phlegm wads in my throat, ticklers. Well. Yeah, it's not good.
It's a problem. It's okay, though. Hey, you look good.
Fix it, Jesus. Matters, fix it.
Help him, Lord.
Man, hey, something wrong, sorry, man. You know, it's just it. Well, how has your week been, man? It's been what, January 24th since I last saw your beautiful face. How you been, man?
It's been a while. You know what? We've had so much stuff drop between the last show and this one. It's pretty incredible. Lots of trailers and lots of things to look forward to in the next couple of weeks. And I'm excited for tonight's show. I think tonight's show is going to be really cool.
You wrote tonight's show again. This is two in a row for you, man. Killing it.
Hopefully it's good. I think the last one went over pretty well. I really enjoyed our discussion.
I was thoroughly impressed with it. I mean, there was a lot of passion. There's a lot of heart. Oh, yeah. A lot of things were working in the background there that we just were just so, you know, into it about. But anyway,
push it real good. Sorry.
There's something wrong with you, man. I'm telling you. Lindsay Badger says that she thinks that you think it's summer because you have a tank top on in the middle of winter.
We call it down here working out, but it's called going doing like two or three push-ups, one or two squats, and then eat some ice cream. That's what we do.
You do your push-ups, and then you feel guilty about it, and you eat some Ben and Jerry's. You're like, I'm just going to wash my sins away with some ice cream.
It's okay, though. We went and got some salads, and that negated the ice cream. So that's how that works, right? Is that how that works? We might be doing it all wrong.
You might have to go see Dr. Phil on that one. He might have to. All right. Anyway.
He'll help me. Sorry.
All right. So we're getting off on tangent here, guys. Let's do the official welcome here. Hey, guys. This is PopX, where science fiction does meet pop culture. I am your host, Joseph Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. Now, we'd like to invite and welcome everyone joining us right now on our PopX.live channel. Now, this is a really cool channel where you can interact with us and talk with us. So go to popx.live, click on the link, and you can watch us live right here. And come hang out and join the conversation at popxcast.com.
And I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian Geek at Heart. If you guys missed episode 70, last week's show, The Impact of Negative Film Reviews, or
Attack of Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb.
I'm going to wake up the neighbors. Check our official website at popxcast.com for this and other great past shows. And also head over to Google Play or iTunes after the show. Click that subscribe button and catch up on some amazing shows from the PopX archive. While you're there, we would certainly appreciate it if you guys also left us a 5-star review.
Yes, indeed.
Not one, or two, or three, maybe four. We like five.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah, five is kind of like that wheelhouse for us.
It's magic.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's magic.
That's the wheelhouse.
Well, man, that's pretty awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful, wonderful, stirring welcome into the world of PopX. Yeah, yeah. So actually, I want to make a quick announcement, too, that I think Lindsay Badger will be joining us here, too, for the Black Panther one. Not this week, but she'll be back for Black Panther.
Okay.
So, you know, we love you, Lindsay. She's holding it down for us over in the chat room. She's doing her thing. But all right, guys, don't go nowhere. We got the PopX news coming up right now. So we'll see you in just a second.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This is PopX News coming to you live right here on PopXCast.com.
All right, so Austin, we have got to talk about Super Bowl, man.
Oh my God. Well, the Super Bowl itself was great, as Tom Brady lost. But the trailers during the Super Bowl were even better.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. You're bad. You're bad.
I am a bad man. Yeah, it's
so,
okay.
So you're not a Patriot. Dude, you're not a Patriots fan,
so,
I take it.
No. Oh no. See, I'm a Steelers fan. So
yeah, same here.
I acknowledge he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I get that, but I just don't like
it. But this is not that show.
This is not. Listen, we talk nerdy stuff here.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's a nerd.
So don't freak out. Don't freak out.
All right, sorry. Okay, we're talking trailers. So, Joe, a lot of trailers dropped.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion,
mm-hmm.
There were some really great ones. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite trailer?
I really enjoyed the teaser for Solo. I thought that was really well. And
I actually like that better than the trailer. I liked the teaser more than the trailer.
You know what? I actually kind of agree with you a little bit.
I do. It's weird, but yeah, I don't know.
It was compact. It had all the elements that I wanted, and it didn't have the character speaking from Han Solo. So that was nice.
Yeah, that's something we got to get used to. It's different, isn't it? It's not Harrison Ford.
Yeah, there's a certain level. I think you and I may have even had a discussion about this. There's a certain level of swagger that comes with Harrison Ford, and even Harrison Ford doesn't even have to act to be Han Solo.
Exactly.
He just is.
So.
You know,
yeah.
So, but also too, I have to say, for me, it was definitely the Avengers, the 30-second spot, man. Dude, there was so much action in that 30 seconds, from Peter Parker ripping his mask off to Captain America and his new shield that he's got coming.
Oh,
I'm just like, take my money, just take it.
I mean, what is it? This wasn't like, because I thought it was going to be, okay, we're going to squeeze in that first trailer into 30 seconds. No, dude, this was all new footage.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This
is
new footage.
Beautiful. Absolutely.
And it was
beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
A trailer that I really liked, which there were some that I enjoyed. I liked the Quiet Place trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I actually liked the Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom trailer better than the first one. I didn't really like the first one that much. But the one that I loved was not the 30-second spot. It was the one that you had to go online to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It was Mission Impossible Fallout.
Mm.
That trailer was great. And you see Henry Cavill in there with the mustache.
I saw the mustache, Cavill. That's the one. That's the mustache that we've all been talking and wondering about since the past 2 years.
Oh, you know what my favorite thing about Henry Cavill's mustache has been in the last couple of days? Did you, by any chance, see the Deadpool 2 trailer this morning?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Did you hear the jab?
Yes.
Did you hear it?
I heard the jab. There were so many jabs.
Oh,
there were so many jabs, and it's like, he was talking about the CGI, and if you've not seen the trailer, do yourself a favor right now and put PopX on pause and go watch the trailer, and then come back here, guys. It's that dang good.
So good.
But I love the fact that the CGI, the sock on the arm, and he's like, wait a minute, what in the A-double hockey sticks is wrong with this picture? And then he just starts breaking out like Woody from Toy Story.
Dude, he's got Disney jabs. He's literally God, making fun of everybody in this trailer. It's phenomenal.
Is no holds barred with Wade Wilson, man. I'm just telling you. And then, you know, right at the end of that trailer, we get some really awesome finished scenes.
Yeah.
And we get to kind of get a taste of what Deadpool 2 is going to be all about. I got to say, I'm pretty stoked for it. I'm pretty stoked for it.
Yeah.
So if it's anything...
It looks great. Did you notice something, though?
What's that?
I didn't know Terry Crews. You know Terry Crews.
I know Terry. Yeah, big Terry. Yeah.
Okay. He's in this movie, and there's a scene when they're in the back of a truck, and it's Deadpool. Mm-hmm. It's, I believe, I don't know if Cable's in there. It might be Deadpool and Domino. And then it's Terry Crews. He's a mutant, all right? Hmm. And then there's two mutants behind them. Is that leading into the X-Force? Because they looked a lot like they were about to go into battle. I mean, they looked like they were ready. So
honestly,
the fact that Terry Crews is a mutant is cool. But.
Honestly, I don't know where they were going with that. I know that teenage Megasonic Warhead is back. I know that she's back, and then
she looks awesome.
And is Colossus back? Or
I believe there is a behind the scenes photo of him and Colossus, him and the guy who's voicing Colossus. So yeah, I think he's back, man. But where they're going with the team aspect, super interesting. Joe, another trailer I want to talk about real quick before we move on is the whole Cloverfield thing.
Oh boy.
That event. Okay?
Oh boy.
So
Austin, give them a lowdown on this one.
So here's what happens. They drop this tease during the Super Bowl of the new Cloverfield movie, and they're like, okay, this is supposed to be the movie that ties everything together and whatnot. And it was actually really cool what they did with the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say the movie is not coming out when it's supposed to come out. It's coming out tonight.
Yes.
On Netflix. Tonight. And here's the thing. That was genius because the movie is not great. I watched it right after the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great. It wasn't going to get good word of mouth. Now, I think there were some good parts in there. It's just the movie kind of falls apart the more you think about it, and it tries to tie all the movies in together. It tries to be what 10 Cloverfield Lane was.
Yeah.
Be different, you know, be its own thing, yet tie it all in together.
Now, see,
I've yet to
see the movie, so I can't make my own assumption about it. And I'm procrastinating in watching it because I heard it's so bad.
I'm telling you this, though. I gave it a 6 only because it's so freaking off the walls. There are people's arms crawling around. They get sucked into the walls of the ship.
Spoiler
None
alert.
Of this stuff is ever explained. It's never explained. You don't know why any of this happens, but it's so crazy and bonkers that I was sitting here watching it like, man, this is entertaining.
It's almost like everybody smoked some like flaca or bath salts. It was like, let's see if we can write a script to a movie, and that's what you get. This is the movie that was made with bath salts.
It's so off the wall. Yeah. But okay, the acting's good, mm-hmm. and then the way that they're presenting their lines are good. It's just nothing else is. You have to watch it, Joe.
Yeah.
It's a movie you have to watch.
It's just one of those days. It's one of those days when it's raining outside and I can't go anywhere and I'm really bored and I have nothing else better to do. Yep. Why not just waste an hour and a half of my life and watch this tragedy?
Turn it on.
Yeah.
So. I like the way you said that. All right. So I guess we're moving on here. Topic is super interesting. After some rumors of Spider-Man maybe appearing in the new Venom, which blew me away, Tom Holland has been spotted on the set of Venom, but not as Spider-Man, as Peter Parker. Holland has been filming for the last few days for a cameo in the movie. Many fans have wondered whether or not the big screen version of Venom would be a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, especially since this movie is coming out through Sony Pictures, or what ties it would have been with Marvel Studios in general.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed that Venom would be separate. But the appearance of Tom Holland on set only adds more questions into the mix, wondering how closely Sony Spider-Verse will tie into the MCU. Now, another interesting tidbit that just came out this morning is the Venom trailer is dropping
tomorrow. And
we're talking
February the 8th, 2018 in the morning.
Yeah.
Will it be dropping, is it Pacific time or Eastern time?
Ah.
Or are they doing it like on Good Morning America or something?
I thought they said it was going to be in the morning. Usually when trailers drop in the morning, they're around 9:30 Eastern.
Okay. All right.
So that's what I would say. Just kind of like Deadpool kind of surprises this morning. I feel like they're pretty confident in this movie.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy has been going to all of these different press conferences. He's been very ecstatic about this film. And the fact that Tom Holland might tie this into the MCU, dude, that's crazy.
Well, honestly, though, it would not make sense. And getting back on this, the dynamic of having Venom and not having a Spider-Man in a Venom movie,
yeah,
it was kind of be like having not having Deadpool in a Deadpool movie. I'm being real with you. Because let's be honest, the symbiote first attached itself to Peter Parker, if you were following the story. And in Secret Wars in the early 80s, that's when Peter Parker found the symbiote and it attached itself to his Spider-Man costume. And behold, the black suit was born. And through, you know, it brought Peter into a very dark spot. If you read the comics, and Peter became almost egotistical and maniacal and evil, and he had to get rid of the symbiote that was attacking his own very essence. And of course, we all know the scene that was portrayed by Sam Raimi's version when the bell came down, the bell tower. There was a version in the comics where it's like sonic waves that kind of released it from Peter Parker. Now, fast forward, you know, we kind of seen a little bit of that from Tobey Maguire's, you know, what do you want to call it? His Trinity, or whatever you want to call it. But honestly, there has to be a Peter Parker in a Venom movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, how can you not have Pete in the movie in some way?
I don't know. At this point, I feel like they're going the route that doesn't follow the storylines. And I hate to say that because, like, the fact that we're not
We don't know that, though.
Well, we don't, but I mean, if Peter's only cameoing, there's no way, because you know when they do Black Suited Spider-Man, that's going to be a movie. I mean, it has to be a movie. They can't just skip over that. Or, of course, you know, they could always go back and do a prequel. But I feel like they're going away from the comics. But I will say this. Tom Hardy as Venom, you can't get much better.
That's
so if they mess this up.
Pretty good casting call.
You can't ruin that, man. Yeah. You just can't. I mean, you can, because Sony's done it before. But they've been doing good as of late. And I think the enthusiasm from all the cast members and the director, that has me pretty excited for this.
It's still a better casting member than Aaron Aldrich for Han Solo.
Yeah, it is, man. That's dude, okay, we're tying it back in. That is going to take so much getting used
that's
to. Here's my thing about this guy is he's a great actor. We've seen it before. What was the Coen Brothers movie that came out a few years ago? He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
He was
drop
dead phenomenal. He outperformed everybody in that movie.
Yeah.
But, and I don't want somebody coming on screen and doing a Harrison Ford impression because I think that could get old
very quickly.
But he just doesn't sound like him.
Yeah, I know.
So I want to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I do. But I've got to see more. I have to see more before I make a decision.
So moving on with the news here, I want to make sure we have enough time to be able to cover, because tonight's topic is really on point.
Yes.
Moving on here, we have Warner Brothers and DC Entertainment have announced that Justice League will arrive in 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray, Ultra HD Blu-ray Combo Pack, and Blu-ray 3D Combo Pack, and Blu-ray Combo Pack, and DVD. Wow, that's a lot of combo packs on March the 13th. Now, fans will also be able to purchase a digital copy of the film 1 month early on February the 13th, which is just in a few days, next Monday. So that's pretty cool. The 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and Blu-ray Combo Pack for Justice League will also contain the following special features, which will be Road to Justice, The Heart of Justice, Technology of the Justice League, Justice League, The New Heroes, the Return of Superman, Steppenwolf the Conqueror, Suit Up, The Look of the League, and additional bonus scenes not seen in theaters. Now, a look at Justice League Japanese 4K Blu-ray has surfaced, showing the heroes assembled in a deteriorated Wayne Manor, the future Hall of Justice.
Wow. That's cool.
That's kind of cool.
That's you know one thing I notice about this, Joe?
What's that?
Look, who is at the forefront of every single cover art? It is Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
She is, I mean, you have to market it that way. And I completely understand why they did it. It's smart. It really is a smart decision to go with that, because her movie, way outperformed Justice League last year, especially in the United States.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for this. I'm looking forward to go back and revisiting it because I haven't seen it in a while. The Superman mustache thing continues to bother me more and more.
It haunts me in my dreams.
It really does, because without that, would I have liked this movie more? I think I would have.
Yeah.
I really do.
I could have done without that cell phone footage with the kid at the beginning of Justice League. That was just totally not necessary.
The worst. I said it when I did my review. The worst first scene in a superhero movie I've ever seen.
It's pretty bad.
Ever.
It's pretty bad.
Ever.
All right.
Ugh. Sorry. I get worked up over that.
Okay.
So
I feel you, man.
We're moving on. Five members of the Seven have been cast for The Boys, the series which will air on Amazon. And it's based on the comics by Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson, and with illustrations, now this is cool, from a previous PopX cast guest, Russ Braun, which is that's incredible. That is so cool. It takes place in a world where superheroes have become corrupt and self-serving, and the titular boys see themselves as serving humanity by keeping the superpowered maniacs in check. Like Ennis's Preacher, The Boys was a cult hit comic, and some fans assumed would never make the jump, like always, to live action, because in spite of seemingly continuous interest from Hollywood, the subject matter was too dark, too violent, and bizarre for the network to be spending big money on it. But guess what? Now we're getting this. An obscure comic series? Dude, what do you think?
We've got Preacher. Have you watched Preacher, man?
I have watched. Dude. I'm like 7 or 8 episodes behind.
Yeah.
But I caught up on it over Christmas break, and it's phenomenal.
It is good.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's crazy, but it's really good. So I'm excited.
But I think it's something like Walking Dead. I mean, you go back even further to that. Nobody really predicted that Walking Dead would ever get a show. Yeah. And look what a phenomenal show that has become today. I mean, it's kind of like a franchise mega giant these days.
Yes.
And so I think that Robert Kirkman has done, he could never foresee what would have happened. Nobody could have. But I think things like Robert Kirkman's underground indie comic kind of paved the way for things like, you know, Preacher and The Boys and other future franchises that we're seeing.
Absolutely.
So I think it's awesome for me personally. So
it's exciting, man. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So moving on here with some news, we have Jumanji. Now it says, Welcome to the Jungle, the sequel to the 1995 film, has surpassed box office expectation with a budget of $90 million. The film has brought in a staggering $855 million worldwide. Now, the reign of Jumanji is fairly unprecedented, considering where it opened. The film debuted in theaters just 1 week after Star Wars The Last Jedi, which was set to dominate the box office a week around the whole globe. But however, after its opening weekend, The Last Jedi began to drop significantly, opening up the door for Jumanji, and it won over the hearts of many fans. So a little bit of the Star Wars fans kind of cringe, a little bit of a burn on the bottom side, and Jumanji fans are like, "Yay, with Jumanji!" Yay. So,
yay. So have you had a chance to watch this movie yet, Joe?
I haven't been to the theater in a while, man. It is.
I liked it. I gave it a positive review. It's very fun. Now, does it bring anything new to the table in terms of blockbusters? No, but it's definitely a fun movie, and there's definitely some hilarious parts of the movie. Jack Black is killer.
Jack Black's pretty awesome,
in this movie. Yeah. So funny. But the fact that it's only dropping less than 25% from weekend to weekend, and it's been out it's about a month and a half, almost 2 months. That's incredible. It's had one of the best holds at the box office I've ever seen.
Now, is it slated for a PG-13 rating?
I don't even know if it's PG-13. It might be PG. No, you know what? It is PG-13 because there are one or two things in there, but dude, it is literally the definition of a family film.
Because right now there's nothing released from Disney. I think one of the last things Disney released was Coco. So I think there's that lull that everybody's like, well, we need a family film, take the kids out. Yeah. And then, of course, Jumanji fits that bill correctly. So, yeah.
It is running over the competition. This thing has made so much money. I'm happy for it. I love the actors and actresses involved, and it's getting a sequel. I hope the sequel does a little bit more in terms of script and whatnot, but I still enjoyed the movie, so I think it's done a good job.
Absolutely.
But let's go ahead and move on. Production temporarily has begun on Marvel Studios' first woman-led superhero film. I love this. And now fans have their first look at Brie Larson suited up as Captain Marvel. Photos from the set show the actor in costume revealing a surprising color scheme for the character that harkens back to the original design for the Kree hero known as Mar-Vell. It was in this movie, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. Because this is all very early in the production, we could see a different version of the costume later on down the line, but now we're getting a better idea of what the storyline could be for the future of the Marvel Studios release. The movie has been confirmed to be a loose adaptation of the Kree-Skrull War, holy crap, an Avengers storyline that brings the two warring alien races to Earth. But it also seems to likely incorporate the original Captain Marvel, with Jude Law rumored to be playing Mar-Vell in the film. Perfect casting. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. This is only the first week of filming for the Captain Marvel movie, but don't expect to see anything else from the set until March. The production will take a brief hiatus for about 2 months before bringing the full cast and crew on for the bulk of the filming. Captain Marvel will premiere in theaters on March 8th, 2019. Now, a lot of people were complaining about this suit online, Joe. With your comic book background and knowledge, what do you think of this suit?
I think, honestly, they're doing this right. I think you can't just introduce Captain Marvel because you can't just introduce Spider-Man or Deadpool. The basis of tonight's show is origin stories. And with Captain Marvel, she has an origin story with the Kree as well. And so you go all the way back and you look in the comics, Captain Marvel, she did actually have a very jade-colored suit. And it kind of predetermined, because Mar-Vell was a total different kind of being or entity. And so what Brie Larson's character is going to do is going to be embodying that. And she's going to have a moment in the film where her powers come to fruition and her new suit is born. And so you're not talking about somebody like Doctor Strange who has mystical powers. You're talking about someone who has, this is one of the first times this is introduced, cosmic powers. Now, you're talking about someone here in the Marvel Universe that is on the level of a god. So you think about Star-Lord's father in Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2.
Yeah.
He was a ultimate being. You're dealing with that kind of universe where you're dealing with cosmic beings and not supernatural or mysticism. So Brie Larson's going to be bringing in, think Silver Surfer, for example. Silver Surfer is cosmic. You know, his powers are unlimited. So Brie Larson's character is going to be embodying that. So hopefully that gives you a little taste of what is to come. I don't want to spoil too much. I have read the comics, and if Kevin Feige is staying true to what I see in this picture, he's doing it the right way. So I have all confidence in Kevin Feige. So
anybody who is complaining about this suit, please come to Joseph Burke.
Thank you.
And just ask him why her suit is not the right colors. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Well, you think about this, too. You think about the Ant-Man. Think about Ant-Man.
You
think about Kirk Douglas's vintage 50s version of Ant-Man. Because if you go back and you look at those old, in Ant-Man 1, there's like flashback scenes when he was in the 50s, with the Nazis in the World War II.
Yes.
There was a different costume. It was a different age. It was a different version. So the same thing's going to happen here as well. So, moving on here. So, I'm really excited for that. I can't wait for March 2018. So, all right. So, advanced sales tickets of the next Marvel film, Ryan Coogler's Black Panther, continue to break all-time previous records, causing the film to be tracked to make $150 million over President's Day weekend. But not everyone is happy with the buzz around the film. Now, a group of vindictive, supposed, quote-unquote, DC fans started a Facebook page to organize against the success of the Black Panther by using spam bots and troll the campaigns to destroy its Rotten Tomatoes score, which, by the way, is at about 100% the last time I looked. Now, the site responded, "We at Rotten Tomatoes are proud to have become a platform for passionate fans to debate and discuss entertainment. And we take that responsibility seriously. Now, while we respect our fans' diverse opinions, we do not condone such hate speech. Now, our team of security, network, and social experts continue to closely monitor our platforms, and any users who engage in such activities will be blocked and banned from our site and their comments removed as quickly as possible. Now, that gives me some reassurance. Finally, in a surprising move, Facebook has taken action and removed the page and the events from their own website. Now, Facebook has yet to make a statement about the removal, but it is surprising that the social media mega giant took this kind of action in such a quick form, as it has previously been slow to remove hate groups and its known bots from its platform. But Facebook finally grew a pair and said, we got to do something about this because this is not good. So I applaud Facebook and everything.
Didn't we have a conversation about this? I believe it was our last show.
I believe it was just like 2 weeks ago.
I mean, what phenomenal timing. What phenomenal timing for this group to rear its ugly head. And I actually heard a rumor that maybe not the same guy in charge, but I heard a rumor it's the same group of people that messed with the user score on Rotten Tomatoes for The Last Jedi.
Really?
I heard it's the same group of people. Now, they weren't as vocal about it, but there was a Facebook page, and there was a spamming of sorts on that Rotten Tomatoes score.
Wow.
Because like I said, you go on IMDb, the user score is a 7.5. You go on Rotten Tomatoes, it's 48%. And if you look at the individual scores, there's a lot of ones out of tens and a lot of half stars out of fives. I don't buy that.
I think honestly, if our viewers want to understand more about what is going on behind the scenes and why they're doing what they're doing, go back to our previous episode, episode 70, where Austin and I actually talk about this, and we give you some very inclusive details on what's going on behind the scenes, because we all know that this has become a huge problem, especially for mega blockbusters. Even like Star Wars got the brunt of it, man. Star Wars kind of got reamed big time because of this. But definitely check out the impact of negative film reviews, the attack of Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb, because that is going to give you kind of an idea of what's going on here. And it's just hate groups. They're just hating. It's just all they do is they just get on there, they register, and they click dislike, or they click 1 out of 10. So,
yeah.
Stupid. Amen, brother. Stupid.
Amen.
Right. So, yeah. So this week, you want to do the hit it of the week?
Oh, let's hit it, baby.
Hit it of the week, baby.
Journalist Josh Jones created an interactive map for Special Request Magazine that traces every leap Sam Beckett took during the Quantum Leaps series.
Wait, what?
This is okay,
every first leap?
First of all,
is that even
who
possible?
Takes time to do this? But the fact that they did. Come on, man. That's awesome.
Dude.
With every episode title and description available for those who want to match the leap with the location using Google Maps, Jones marks a total.
Oh my God, look at that. Look at that.
Across five seasons, with the second season having the most leaps out of them all, 22, one more than every following season. Most of them took place in the United States, though there are a few in Europe, along with one in Egypt and another in Japan. But it looks like Sam never managed to leap in Central America, South America, or Australia. Oh my God, Joe.
What is his beef with Pakistan? I mean, what's up with that, Sam Beckett? Couldn't Gushy get you in there? No, I'm just saying.
You couldn't leap to... come on, man.
What was his name? Is that Gushy or is it Ziggy? Or what was it? The little calm that... Ziggy?
Was it Ziggy?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Gushy? Ziggy? I don't know.
All I know is he did a lot of leaps, Joe. Yeah. There were a lot of leaps.
Dude, that, Quantum Leap. I grew up on Quantum Leap and MacGyver.
My dad loved Quantum Leap, and he showed me Quantum Leap. So the fact that somebody will go back and do this... That's cool.
That's passion. That's some passion,
that's passion
right there.
Man. That's love. Wow. I love that.
That is cool. That is a really cool hit it of the week, man.
We hit it, baby.
That's legit. Well, Austin Burke, this is your story, so I'm going to let you do the formal introduction on this week's topic, which is the top five origin films from Team PopX, a retrospective look. So,
well,
what do you got, Mr. Burke?
I mean... A little movie by the name of Black Panther is coming out, I believe, next week here in the United States.
Yes.
And, Joe, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Where in the world would we be without the origin story? I mean...
Well, you got to have that one story. And out of that one story becomes a franchise.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh.
And we're not just talking.
And there are.
Yeah. Go ahead. This is your date, man.
No, man. You nailed it, though. Without the origin story, we wouldn't have all of these movies. We wouldn't have all these successful comics without the successful origin story, which people like Stan Lee nailed the first time around, which is why we have all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys know this, but the first here's a fun fact for you. The first comic ever created about a superhero was actually centered around, wait for it, his origin story. It's amazing. It's amazing.
There you
would
go.
Think that. No, the first one's the origin story. Yeah. Applause from everyone. Thank you. For real, the origin story of a hero is occasionally the most interesting story that can be told. And the fact that we have enough movies right now in 2018 about the origin of our favorite heroes and not just superheroes. We're talking origin stories in general tonight. So prepare for a lot of pop cultural references on this show. We have enough to make a top 10 list.
Yeah, we do.
But I mean, we're spoiled as superhero and comic book fans. But today I thought we could shrink that number down to 5 and talk about our 5 favorite origin stories in that order. This is the perfect show for this kind of thing because our lists, Joe, are completely different. And I know people
that.
Are going to love that.
I love that. there's a little so bit of different. There's a generation there, you know, between you and me.
Absolutely.
You know? So that's.
But it's cool, though, because all the movies on your list I appreciate and I really enjoy. And all the movies on my list are, they're random. I'll say that. And I had a list, Joe, until I saw your list. And I'm like, man, he's throwing in all these crazy.
Hey.
And I got to go back and.
Bow to your sensei.
You made me change two on my list. So, Joe, how do you want to do this, man? Do you want to go back and forth? Do you want to crack
you
your
know,
top five?
You know what? I think what we want to do is I'll do my 5. You do your number 5. We'll just go back and forth. So I think, honestly, for me, when Austin approached me with this idea, my first thought was superheroes. And I started going back, and I'm like, oh, I want to write down my top 5. So it's definitely this one. It's definitely that one. Oh, my God, I got to include. And then I started really thinking deep within my heart, like, what are the films that my father showed me or that I saw as a child that today has become epic franchise hits because of this one movie that was made in the 70s or 80s? And then I kind of sat back for a minute, and then I started thinking about those first loves in my heart, the ones that really just you feel emotionally attached to the character, and it brings you into a state of mind where you just feel like you're living vicariously through every move and action that they're making. And for me, I got to go all the way back to 1976. And it was one of the first films my father ever showed me. And, you know, this movie doesn't have a lot of vulgarity. It doesn't have a lot of profanity. But what it has is heart. And I'm talking about Rocky from 1976.
Man.
You think about Rocky for a second. Think about Sylvester Stallone. You know, he's young. Probably one of his first big acting gigs before Rambo, before, you know, any other thing he's been involved with. You think about Rocky Balboa, and then you look back, there's like 5 or 6 Rocky movies. Then there was Rocky Balboa that came out. Then there was Creed. Now Creed 2 is in post production, and we have Dolph Lundgren coming back and playing Ivan Drago. I mean,
so cool.
So, from this one movie in 76, and everybody in America or the world knows the famous song, dun 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 dun.
Yes.
You know that. Or The Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. You know, dun, 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 dun. And you just, you know, you're invested. You know, come on, Rocky, give it to him. You know, you just got all these references. But from one film, and I want to give my love up to the Philadelphia Eagles right now. Everybody in Philly, love you guys. If you're tuning in and watching, this was for you. This is Rocky Balboa, the Italian stallion himself.
Man.
Seriously, I remember being a 5-year-old kid watching this for the first time and just seeing him box in the match and just the passion and him just raising up that flag with his one glove, and he's looking for Adrian, you know, and the tears are flowing and everybody's cheering. Dude, it was euphoric. It was awesome.
Monumental.
Yeah.
Yes.
So for me,
absolutely.
Rocky.
Oh, dude, what a golly! You start off way too strong there, man. You're overshadowing.
Well,
your list is going to overshadow my list.
He is the Italian stallion. I'm just saying.
Italian stallion. Well, my number five, it actually relates very heavily, Joseph, to your number five.
Ooh. Okay.
I wanted to go with the follow-up to the Rocky franchise.
Okay.
Because while I love Rocky, I think this movie, every day I switch which one I enjoy more.
Okay.
That's Creed.
Creed.
Because Creed is an origin story.
It is.
For Adonis Creed.
It is.
It's an origin story. So I chose Creed as my number five. And why Creed? Well, you were talking about Rocky, and
yep.
I love everything about the way that it took what was so special about that franchise, and I'm going to say that about a lot of movies on my list, and it gave it to a new generation in a way with the hip-hop music and with the characters and how in-depth they go with these characters into their everyday lives that relates to this new generation. And it's a great origin story, not only because it brings us the characters characters that we know and love from the Rocky franchise, such as Sylvester Stallone giving an Oscar-worthy performance as he did in the first Rocky, which is incredible. I think he should have won that year. He was phenomenal this movie.
He is awesome.
My goodness, Joe. My goodness. But the directing is really what kind of sells this movie for me. And an interesting combination between Ryan Coogler, the director, and Michael B. Jordan, who are now working on Black Panther. You can see why Marvel hired both of these guys
absolutely.
To be the villain and the director. Man, this is that fight scene in the middle of this movie, that one take fight scene where the camera never cuts and follows them around.
Incredible shot.
Dude, the first time I watched that in a theater, I had chills on my body. Like, are they really living up to Rocky right now? Because I never thought it would happen. I didn't have any faith in this sequel. I didn't see the director's prior film until after Creed, but my goodness, did this movie just bring us everything that I wanted to see in a Rocky sequel. And I really enjoy a couple of the Rocky sequels quite a lot, but the fact that I liked Creed a little bit more
in that one scene you were talking about, in that one scene you were talking about where the camera never, could you imagine the choreography and just behind the scenes, how much they had to work and practice at that for that one take.
Yeah, and apparently Michael B. Jordan actually got hit in the face during that take and actually got back up and continued to go. That dude took one to the face, man.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's incredible. But, man, Creed, number five on my list. I really enjoy this movie. I love both of these movies, though, man. Yeah. Great number five.
And you know, just one more thought. I think it's kind of interesting, too, how Stallone has, Rocky has become more of the Mickey character that Mickey was in the original Rocky series, because we all know Mickey died of the heart attack. And and so he's kind of assumed that leadership role in kind of – it's so cool. I mean, it's everything comes full circle. And it just goes to show you, Sylvester Stallone, there's no age, there's no barrier. That guy is just unrelenting.
Absolutely.
All right, so for me, my next one coming up on number four, being a fan of reading these books when I was in high school, it really sparked a lot in my mind about imagination and things in the world of sorcery and wizardry that just... All right, so Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. 2001, this movie was released, and I watched it in the theater for the first time. I just got out of college, just graduated, and this movie came out. And, of course, the Sorcerer's Stone book had been out for several years, and I had read it. And so in my mind, I was like, I can't wait to go to the theater and see, you know, the floating candles and how they do the sorting hat and all of this. And there it is. And I'm like, whoa, that is beautiful. And, you know, it was unreal. And you think about the origin story of Harry Potter. How it has not only just spawned eight films, of course, it's according to the eight books, but now J.K. Rowling is writing a post-Harry Potter manuscript that's going to be like, I don't know if it's been put into a play or a film or a book.
I think it was a play.
Yeah.
And there's rumors going around that they might adapt it into a movie. So
see, And well, you think about this too. It even spawned Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah, no, and yeah. another franchise.
Another franchise. Another franchise on top of a franchise.
Man.
So
that's
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Can I give it up for 2001? Is there any Harry Potter fans?
Golly.
I mean, come on, Harry Potter. You can, I mean, when I go to Universal Studios, I have to have butterbeer. Have to have butterbeer. I mean, it's just like one of those things. It's just like you got to go. But a shameless plug for where I live here in Orlando. If you've never been, you need to go to Diagon Alley in Hogsmeade because, my God, you are walking in the middle of a magical area that is just totally immersive, and the fire-breathing dragon and the goblet of fire, and it's overload. It really is overload. Yeah. There's too much to look at. But I do want to say that, though, if you ever get a chance to vacation in Orlando, you have to go visit the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. But getting back to the film, spectacular. And I'm so blessed that this is a part of my life and my childhood because I read these books as a child. And, you know, just seeing these movies and just going through them. Every once in a while, like every year or so, I'll go back through all the movies. And I'll rewatch them from number one all the way through. Just because I can. You know, so.
Dude, that movie is literally so magical.
You have
like
no idea.
Every aspect of most of those movies. There's only one or two that I'm like, those aren't as good as the other ones. Mm-hmm. But man, that whole franchise.
It's great.
I don't think we'll ever see another franchise where every single movie is at least good.
Yeah.
That's with that many movies. I mean,
and
that's
and Voldemort. I mean, Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Villain for the ages. And a score from John Williams. That is
Williams. My God.
He does it all, man. But that's a great choice for number four, man. My number four is another story that you could say is, it's not magical at all. It's actually the opposite. We often forget how important Iron Man is to the MCU. And this is a movie that never really adapted the magic, the fantasy, the outer space. It was a true-to-form origin story that centered around a guy who created a suit and had the means to because he is so daggone rich.
And smart.
So everything about this movie, now you get later on to the MCU, of course it gets a little outlandish, but they're still great. But everything about this movie is so realistic to me, and it's one of the reasons why Iron Man is number four on my list.
Mm.
Jon Favreau is straight up brilliant when it comes to filmmaking. I mean, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
In this interpretation of Iron Man, the fact that Robert Downey Jr. had to audition for this blows my mind because you look at the man, you set eyes on that man,
you see
Tony Stark. That's all you see.
That's all I see. Yeah.
It's phenomenal. And I think the way that he captured this character, it's the first time I ever said, other than Hugh Jackman, which even him at times, he was in some movies that were pretty rotten. Let's get that out of the gate.
Yeah.
You see Robert Downey Jr. on screen the first time. I don't think I've ever felt that way about a character portraying somebody from a comic book so lifelike.
Yep.
It's like they based Tony Stark off Robert Downey Jr. It's like they time traveled, Joe.
It's
phenomenal how good he is. But not just how good he is in the role. This is a solid movie. This is a beyond solid movie. It's a great setup for the MCU. You have the post-credits tease at the end, which everybody was going nuts after that.
Oh, yeah.
And you even have a decent villain. Now, the third act is not the best third act in the MCU.
No.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
But it's still a good, solid villain in Jeff Bridges, who I love. Jeff Bridges.
I like Jeff Bridges.
He's great.
Yeah.
And this movie just kind of delivered for me on every level. And without Iron Man, where would we be right now?
And, you know, I think Iron Man, even the story and the setting of Iron Man in the Middle East is very timely.
It's very timely
considering, you know, where our nation is today. And just some of the things that we have to, you know, I don't want to say deal with or experience, but some of the things that we have to face every day.
Absolutely.
And so I think the film itself kind of embodies the true nature of the American spirit, if you think about it.
It does, man. And rewatching it, I actually rewatched it a couple weeks ago with Madison. And you forget how like you said, timely it is, but you forget that he goes overseas and he's basically fighting for America. He's doing what Iron Patriot ends up doing in the other movies. So
he's fighting for his life. I mean, he's fighting. Yes. I mean, if you've never seen the movie, I don't want to spoil it for you, but you know, he does win. Hello. Yeah. Eight films later.
Yeah, get on that. But Iron Man is a well-deserved place on my list, and I'm glad it's number four. It's a great
one. Well, I'm going to switch things up, and I'm going to actually go to the opposite side of Marvel and go to DC now.
Ooh.
And this was the second film my wonderful father introduced me to. And I remember, before I say the title, my father, back in the day when you would video, you put your VHS cassette into the VCR and you would set the timer to record at a certain time and then it would record. I don't know if you've ever, you weren't part of that era, Austin, so you would have no idea what I'm talking about right now.
I don't.
So there was these random months out of the year when the movie channel would be free. All right. So they would give you a free preview of the movie channel. Okay. And in that would be some really awesome blockbuster films. And my father wanted to watch a couple of these, and he recorded them. One of them was Back to the Future. Now, that's another origin story I'm not going to even talk about. But this one that I'm going to mention, I would come home from school and watch it almost every day of my life. And then I would back it up and rewind it and watch it again. And then I would try to draw it. I'm talking about 1978's Superman, the motion picture.
You have to.
I mean, yes. Christopher Reeve. My gosh. So there was so much of the Superman verse that was introduced in here. His powers were seen for the first time. Nobody had never seen, maybe in like a comic strip or an animated classic or something like that, you'd see his like laser eyes or his power. But Superman kind of went back and embodied the traditional powers of Superman, where he can fly so fast he could turn back time, or you know he can you know beam himself up on a railroad track and let the train roll over his back, you know. And so I mean, dude, it was mind blowing what I got to see with that. And so John Williams, of course, that amazing score, you know, dun 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 dun, dun. Dude. I mean, come on, chills. I mean. But for me, you think about this movie, Superman. All right, so there's three sequels. Then there's Superman Returns with Brandon Roth. And then you have, of course, Henry Cavill, bring it back with Man of Steel. But it's just ongoing. And even today, a lot of people that your old classics will be like, who's your Superman? Everybody say, Christopher Reeve. Just like when people will say, well, who's your Incredible Hulk? I'm going to say Lou Ferrigno. But, you know, it's that kind of thing. And then, you know, Gene Hackman, he played Lex Luthor, and he kind of was a bumbling idiot, but it was okay.
Great, yeah.
And, you know, then we had the introduction of Zod in Superman 2. Now, a lot of people don't know that Superman 1 and Superman 2 were actually filmed simultaneously.
Oh, cool.
And so one was released one summer, and the next one was released the next summer. It was all a continuity thing. So when you watch Superman 1, you have to watch Part 2 because it literally picks it right up right at the end of it.
That's cool.
So
that's awesome.
But Superman, the movie, definitely 1978, represent for sure.
Mm. Oh, man, you said where would we be? I said where would we be without Iron Man? Where in the world would we be without Superman?
You know, those famous notes. Dun, 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 dun.
Dude,
that's it. That's all I got to do.
Once again. John Williams.
John?
My God.
Freaking Williams.
What can't he do? Yeah, he's phenomenal. Man, that's a great choice.
Thank you.
So for my number three, we're literally switching gears completely here. we're going monumental and epic from that to completely self-aware, humorous, and epic in its own way.
Okay.
Talking Deadpool.
Oh,
Joseph.
Snap.
We're talking Deadpool.
Yes.
That's an origin story that people often forget about, that it is an origin story. Because to a lot of people, it's a comedy. It's a straight-up comedy. And you see the elements of what Deadpool is transferring over into other movies. Mm-hmm. Not even the comedic aspect. We wouldn't have Logan, which is – oh, my God, if that was an origin story, I'd be on this list. But we wouldn't have Logan without Deadpool. We wouldn't have these studios trying to make these R-rated superhero, supervillain films. I think Venom is because of Deadpool.
Absolutely. Yeah, Deadpool.
That's just –
yeah. And Deadpool introduced a different style and a genre of film that today is kind of translating and trickling down throughout a lot of the comic book universe films. breaking that fourth wall, and you know, just being, not only is he provocative and filthy and all that, but he's witty, and he's just a different type of storytelling that nobody's used to. I mean, it's so different. So,
absolutely. And Ryan Reynolds, I mean, we talked about Robert Downey Jr. earlier portraying a character so so perfectly. Ryan Reynolds is another example of how perfect this casting was. And it wasn't even casting. I mean, he's going to deny it, but I think he was part of the reason why we got this movie, because that test footage was not leaked by some stranger. It was one of three people. I think it was a collaborative effort by all three of them. This is success because of the fans. I mean, the fans saw this test footage. They said, we want this movie, and they delivered, man.
Yeah.
This made so much money. Yeah. And the second one, the fact that it's dropping 2 weeks after Avengers Infinity War, Avengers Infinity War, and we are saying, man, I hope it doesn't affect Infinity War's box office that much, because there is a real possibility it's going to.
Yeah, because let me be honest with you, there's a lot of people right now that are kind of getting, I don't want to say like jaded to the whole MCU, but when you think about Deadpool, there is a entire collective universe of people out there that are Deadpoolites. I mean, you got Gwenpool, Dogpool, Deadpool. Yes. I mean, you've got and cosplays. If you've ever been to a con, the number one cosplay is some form of a Deadpool.
Oh my god!
It's crazy. I went to a Tampa Bay MegaCon, and there was a Captain America Deadpool.
What?
It's awesome.
Okay, now that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
But that's just a testament to how impactful this character is, how awesome Ryan Reynolds is, and how psyched we are for a sequel to a movie for a character that we never thought we would see on screen. That was rated R. Man, this movie is great, and it's my number three.
Yep.
Oh, so good.
And we got to see his origin story in this film, too, how he was made.
Yes.
So that needs to be mentioned as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so my numero dos. So now this one's going back to my earlier childhood, long before the wizarding world of Harry Potter.
Okay.
Long before the world of Harry Potter, there was another magical place. In the land of the Shire, in a hole in the Hobbit, in the middle of the earth, lived a little hobbit by the name of Bilbo Baggins. I'm talking about The Hobbit: An Unexpected Journey.
There you go. I like that.
You know, we had Lord of the Rings trilogy. All right.
Okay.
So we had that, and that's great. I mean, but you got to go back a little further before all of this happened. You know, you got to go back to The Hobbit. And for me, when I read The Hobbit, I remember, like, I would close my eyes and just imagine these scenes with, like, Smaug the dragon. You know, what did he look like? What did he smell like? Did he smell like smoldering coals? I mean, you think of this as an 8-year-old child and you're reading this book for the first time, and then the cartoon comes out, The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And in the land of the Shire lived a little boy. You know, I'm really, like, dating myself right now, but come on. What's not to love about The Hobbit? I mean,
absolutely.
So it was really awesome for me to be able to see. It might not be the best trilogy, the Hobbit trilogy, because some of it was partially rushed with Peter Jackson, and some of the scenes are a little rushed and not finished or polished as they would be. And I got to go back, though. This kind of spawned, it's a 6-film franchise, you know, from one base.
It's great.
From one book, J.R. Tolkien wrote The Hobbit very early in the 60s, and then from that started Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring. So, you know, it was inspiring for him. If it inspired Tolkien to write an entire Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That's, for me, though, sometimes when I'm, like, home alone at night and my wife is sleeping and she's a nurse and stuff, she goes to bed early, I'll break out The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Nice.
And just kind of refresh and just go through those moments, you know. So,
yes.
Yeah.
There are some phenomenal moments in that first Hobbit movie.
Yeah.
And I even really like the second Hobbit movie as well. I think Smaug is a great film. The third one kind of falls apart for me, but it's a phenomenal origin story. And Bilbo, I mean, that is centered around him and his characters. That's a great pick, Joe.
Thank you.
We're talking digging deep. I'm digging deep, and I ain't digging deep in the world of fantasy. We're going to switch gears. We're going to sci-fi. Now, okay. I didn't include any of the Star Wars movies in this list because there are so many origin stories. You don't really know who to focus on, and and they would take up the whole list. So I'm talking Star Trek, and I'm not talking the original Star Trek. I'm talking about the origin of our favorite characters. And we have to remember, these movies, they tie into each other.
Oh, yeah.
Of our favorite characters from the original television series. What J.J. Abrams did, first of all, with The Force Awakens, but what he did with this movie, man, was such a difficult task because nobody wanted to see these characters back on screen with a new cast that was cast perfectly, in my opinion, but with a new story. And how in the world is he supposed to tie these two things in and give us the origin of Captain Kirk when we love William Shatner so much? But he did it, and he gave us the Star Trek for a new generation. I think this film is vastly underappreciated. I do, because you go back and watch it right now, if this movie came out with the same anticipation level of Star Wars The Force Awakens and people flocked to the theaters, this could go down as one of the most monumental movies of all time because the action, the plot, the characters, the story, the relationship between Spock and Kirk, and it carries into darkness, and you have that moment between them where you see how that started from this movie and how they become the Spock and Kirk that we know and love from the old series. And then you have the tributes that they do to the old cast. This movie, man, it does it all for me. And I remember sitting and watching Star Trek with my dad when we were younger. He loves Star Trek. Yeah. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, what if they brought this back? Oh, and what if they gave this to a new generation? And they did it, and it was awesome. Yep. And Joe, I love this movie.
I know, man. That's all I went and saw Star Trek in IMAX when it first came out. I'm talking about the one with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto and all that. And it was just, it was unreal. It was unreal to see that on the big screen and just hear those old traditional 50s sounds of the ship and the board and the bridge. You know, you hear the elevators open up, you know.
And the music, the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Dude, gives me chills.
I know. So guess what, Austin? We have reached our number one.
That's insane. Hey, Joe, before we do our number one.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to do a few honorable mentions?
Well,
because I had a few.
I have an honorable mention as well. I was going to combine my honorable mention with my number one.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. So. Well, I have a few. I actually have a couple. These are some of the ones I had to take off the list. Man of Steel, Wonder Woman, Casino Royale. That's an origin story. Of course, Harry Potter, X-Men First Class. It's origin for the entire group. And then I said Star Wars, The Godfather Part II. That's a cheat code, man. That's a cheat code.
Yeah.
You can't put that on this list because it's automatically number one. So those are my honorable mentions. And now we've reached number one.
Well, for me, honestly, for my number one, it was so hard to decide. And I was actually been wrestling with it for the past few days. And I'm just like, I'm a big fan of both franchises. And you've already mentioned number one. Number one is Deadpool. I mean, because.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My number one, my A. In part one would be Deadpool.
That's awesome.
For me, the origin story of Wade Wilson, I being a huge Deadpool fan, and you know I have the first appearance of Deadpool, New Mutants at number 98. And so I remember when this comic book came out, and we were trading comic books in sixth grade, and I'm like, oh, who's this guy? And there's like, oh, this is Deadpool. Man. He's a weird character, and nobody wants. I was like, I'll trade you this for it. And it's like, yeah, sure.
Yes.
Little did he know. Fast forward 20 years later, the comic book's worth like $500 now. But I mean, for me, Deadpool has his banter, his attitude. It just for a lot of people, they might not get into it because of just the way he is. But for me, I just totally dig it. And
it's so funny.
But you already said enough about Deadpool that already hasn't been said. So on the / B side of number one, I'd have to go with The Conjuring. Now,
are you kidding me?
I'm not lying to you. No, The Conjuring for me, if you think about it, it spawned Annabelle. It spawned The Conjuring 2, Annabelle 2 Creation, and there's this whole universe that has been created around this Conjuring. I don't know who the characters, the Annabelle doll. It's all been kind of. It's the same kind of demonic entities within all four of the films. And for me, The Conjuring was just like, that was one of the most scariest films I think I've seen in a long time. It was really awesome, and it really got me many, many times, the scare tactics in it. And for me, I mean, it's one of Alex and I's favorite films. So every time a new part of that, whether it's Annabelle Creation, we went and saw that in the film just a few months ago. We've seen every one of them in the theater as well, as a matter of fact. But for me, I kind of gravitate towards the horror films because I like the horror. I was raised on Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers, and Conjuring kind of brings a new element of the horror genre into the new age. So, Conjuring.
Joe, can I add that to my number one? Sure. I'm serious. That's my favorite horror movie of all time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think of that as an origin story, but yeah, it is, in fact, an origin story, and brilliantly done by James Wan. Some of the most effective horror without going too far into the cliche jump scare territory
correct
I've ever seen. Oh my God, man, that's such a great pull. Okay, number 1B for me, seriously, is okay. The Conjuring, because it was my favorite movie of that year.
Yep.
One of my favorite movies of the decade. It's a phenomenal film. That's a great pull because it is, in fact, an origin for the Warrens.
Yep.
That's awesome.
The Warrens,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Holy crap.
You're welcome.
Okay. So let's get in to my 1A. Okay. Not my 1B, my 1A. And that is the beginning to one of my favorite superheroes of all time. I believe 9-year-old Austin first watched this movie. I was horrified. And frankly, I didn't love this movie when I first watched it because wow, it's not what I was used to. I was used to the George Clooney Batman. I was used to the upbeat and slapsticky, or at least something that wasn't this realistic and dark. But the more I watch Batman Begins, the more I love Batman Begins. This movie is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Katie Holmes as Rachel, my God, why is she in that movie? She's horrible. She had to know somebody. Did she know somebody? Did she pay somebody?
I don't know.
She's so bad.
I don't know how that worked out.
There's a reason she got recast. Anyway, but her aside, this movie is such a great origin story. It's epic in tone, yet it's realistic for a superhero movie, and it brings Batman as far down to earth as I have ever seen him. And even seeing Batman in Justice League, he's doing, you know, the cartoony things, and I'm like, that's cool to see, but I kind of miss Christian Bale, you know, the realistic Batman, because Batman Begins just set that world up so nicely and then gave us a sequel, which I believe is the greatest superhero movie of all time. A lot
Heath
of people
Ledger.
Believe that.
Oh my
dude,
God.
The Dark Knight. But the thing about The Dark Knight is, you can argue that it's more of a Joker story. And I would completely – I think it is more of a Joker story. That's why I think the movie worked. This is a Batman story. And that's why I think this is maybe – if we're talking Batman as a character, I think this is the best Batman movie. I'm going to say that right up front.
The only squabble I have with that is the way he used to talk. I want to go down to Gotham and I want to get the Joker.
You know what? I like that. A lot of people like to hate on it, but I mostly like it because I used to dress up like him in high school and run around. Hello, everyone.
I'm with you, the Joker. Harvey. Yeah, Harvey Dennis.
You know, I would slowly sound stupider. I went from hello to hello, everybody.
We're getting off topic right now. We're getting off tangent.
We are. That might be why I enjoy it. But these movies are the best showcase of filmmaking that I've ever seen in superhero movies. Christopher Nolan is phenomenal. And Christian Bale does such a good job at merging Bruce Wayne and Batman. He's my Batman because I had to get accustomed to him, of course. But then once The Dark Knight comes along, that could change.
Of course, mine's Michael Keaton. I have to go with Michael Keaton for
Michael Keaton's a great Batman. And there are people who will argue Ben Affleck at this point in time. And now I was on that train for a little bit. I'm like, you know what? Ben Affleck might be great. But I went back and watched Batman Begins the other night, and holy cow, if I wasn't immersed on the edge of my seat watching this movie for maybe the 20th time in my life. It's a 2-hour and 20-minute film, and it feels like 30 minutes. It's just such a good movie. Then you have Liam Neeson. You have Scarecrow, who is a horrifying villain. Every aspect of this movie works for me. It's the perfect origin for this generation's Batman. And I think it gave us one of the greatest superhero, one of the greatest trilogies of all time, because it worked so well. And Chris Nolan is right now my number one favorite director.
Dude, that's an awesome pull.
It started from this.
That's an awesome pull, man.
1A, man.
Well, there you got it, man. There's our top five origin films of all time from Team PopX. And that's kind of been our retrospective look at all things nerdy and origin. So hopefully, if you like something on the list and maybe something you've seen before, but we've mentioned it, now you've got to go back and rewatch it. That's kind of what we wanted to. We want you to enjoy movies for the way they were filmed and enjoy movies for what they are. Because at the end of the day, we want you to make your own predictions and assumptions and don't go by what others tell you. Yes. Watch the film for yourself and enjoy it, especially the origin stories that we mentioned here tonight, okay? But you ready to wrap this thing up, Mr. Burke?
Buddy, what a great show. Yeah. Let's wrap it up. Send the people home some watching movies.
Okay. All right, guys. As always, if you see something exciting on the shelves, at your local comic shop, or in the theater and around geek culture in general, let us know on social media with our hashtag YoPopX. Now, if you go see Black Panther coming up next weekend, make sure you get a selfie with a bunch of your group, or if you're at the first front row, wherever you want to be, get a selfie, hashtag YoPopX, and let us use that on next week's show when we do the Black Panther film review, okay? So definitely check that out.
Yes, and we are also part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to GonnaGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts on our home network. Also, we have the social medias. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, Pinterest, all at PopXcast. Send us comments and suggestions via email at popxcast@gmail.com. Also, for future and past shows, visit our official website, www.popxcast.com. I am Austin Burke at the Burkinator. Download the Stardust app. I just started using a brand new thing called Letterboxd, where I am doing written reviews for movies.
Letterboxd.
Letterboxd, B-O-X-D, and Austin Burke on there. I'm doing some written reviews, some nice little paragraphs if you're into reading. And hey, Joe, I'm going to attempt, don't tell anybody this.
Okay.
I'm going to go watch the new 50 Shades movie and review it this weekend.
Oh my God.
I know, man. I do it.
I've lost all respect for you.
I know. I do it for the YouTube. And I.
Okay.
We'll see. I don't know.
Is that an origin story too, Austin?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Okay. All right, guys. So that's it for PopX Cast this week. I am Joseph Burke at Joseph Burke Arts all over the web. And hats off to amazing Team PopX. Mr. Mike Ippolito in here on a work night. In here
killing
on a work
it,
night.
Throw
oh, it. Look at the, love you, Mike. This is for you, buddy, all the way up in Atlanta. All right, so be sure to join us here on February the 18th. Next week is actually opening launch for the Black Panther. So go out and see it on Friday, the February the 16th. I'm going to be seeing it on the 15th on Premiere Night. So it's going to be really awesome. We'll be having my posse together. Definitely go check it out. And then come back here on PopX on February the 18th, 9 p.m. Eastern, for the Black Panther film review and more. And that is when we'll be back here in just 2 weeks. So from all of us here at PopX, thanks for listening. And you got anything closing here, Austin? Anything you want to like mention and throw a plug or what?
No, man. This was a great show. I'm so happy we got to talk about these movies. There are so many good superhero movies coming out this year. Go watch them. Make decisions for yourselves. And I'll see you when we watch Black Panther. That's going to be a good one.
From all of us here at PopX, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. We'll see you next time.
See you.
From everyone at PopXcast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube, all at PopXcast. Get your geek on.